awesome. Join us in prayer and fasting, church. Things move, things shift, things shake, things come into alignment with the Word of God when we come to Him with our needs, when we come to Him with what He wants us to agree with. And so I just want to encourage you, just really get on board with that. We got Easter coming up. It's a huge, huge moment in the year where people that aren't necessarily followers of Jesus, they will come to church for Easter and Christmas. And so a fantastic time to just really pray into and believe for those that we invite, they will come and encounter Jesus in a real and authentic way. And that's why we invite people. We don't invite them to come and check out how good our announcement video is. We don't invite them to come and see how good our band is, although our band is great. We don't invite them to come and see how good we do things. We invite them to come see how good God is. And so I want us to join together in praying and fasting. And if you can't fast food because of something medical or something like that, there's a bunch of things you can fast. Yeah, you can fast. Well, no millennials on Facebook anyway, Rowan. But you can fast social media for sure. Yeah, you can fast a bunch of different things. TV, the news. Tell you what, I've been fasting the news for the last 20 years. It's been fantastic. No, you can fast a bunch of stuff. But join us in prayer and fasting. And let's see God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So that's just going to be fantastic. Well, this is week 4 of our 4-part series on the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon that Jesus would have preached in many of the towns that he went. And he preached it for a variety of different reasons, but I believe the biggest reason he preached it is because he knew that not only would it set people free, it would set people up to live a storm-proof life. And so Jesus finishes his message with this one statement in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25. He says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock." A life with or without Jesus will have troubles. A life with or without Jesus will have storms and unforeseen complications. But a life led by Jesus, a life that is committed to doing his way and doing what he says, that kind of life will withstand the troubles. That kind of life will withstand the storm and the unforeseen complications. We have worked through chapter 5 and 6 up until this point now, and we've had a look at what Jesus has said through different type of scenarios or situations and how to deal with this and how to deal with that. And if you've missed those, they're up on our YouTube. You can have a look at that. Over all 3 of our locations, we've been going through this series. So you can have a look at what Pastor Joe said about it over at Moorfield. You can have a look at what Pastor Mark said about it over at Warner. And you can have a look at what I've said about it as well. We've worked together to really work out how we're going to attack or tackle this message that Jesus has brought. But each one of us bringing our own leading of the Holy Spirit into the messages as well. So you can go and have a look at those. But if you've missed them, I just want to bring you quickly up to speed on them. The first week, we had a look at who God blesses. And the short answer is he blesses those who realize their need for him and who pursue him. Jesus also made it clear that he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to take the law from behavior management to heart condition. How we think and feel and process life is just as important to God as how we act it out or how we live it out. We then also saw that there is an order in life when we pray, when we fast, how we pray, and the importance of forgiveness. Jesus also made it clear that we can't have two masters. One will enslave us, but the other one frees us. So he pushes the importance of choosing the right master. Jesus wanted to make it clear that provision for our needs is not all on us. He will take care of us. Jesus finished by saying that we shouldn't worry about those things. Worry doesn't add a single hour to our life, but trusting in Him will ultimately lead to a life and life in abundance. All of that leads us to the last part of Jesus' famous message. So let's get ready to look at Matthew chapter 7 together. And if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be going through the whole chapter together this morning. And you can tick that off in your daily Bible reading. I've read a chapter of the Bible, which is just fantastic. So the title of the message this morning is Choices. Let me pray and then we'll get into Matthew chapter 7 together. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity that we get to open up your word, to gather around your word and to hear from you. Father, I just declare right now that every single one of us will walk out differently this morning, not because of anything I say, but because of you, because of your truth, because of your presence, because we will encounter you through your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now, when I read through Matthew chapter 7, I see choices. I see Jesus giving me options. I see Jesus showing me that there's an opportunity to take this path or that path. One path leads to life and freedom. The other path leads to judgment and chaos. Yet the choice is mine. Among the choices, there is also a back and forth between looking in the mirror or looking at the people around us. And you'll see that almost tension throughout the chapter. There's moments where Jesus focuses us and he puts a mirror up in front of us and he goes, look at that, just look at it. And then he takes the mirror away and goes, now look around. And there's this constant back and forth in the chapter. But each portion that we get to, each part that Jesus addresses is just another choice for us to choose what to do. There are moments where Jesus stands in front of us and says, look at this. Tell me what you see, or adjust what you see. And now look over there. Look at the people around you. We're going to jump straight into this and starting obviously at verse 1 together. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 6. It says, Jesus says this, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. Give grace and you will receive grace. Do not judge others. God sees how we treat others, how we think about others, what we say about them and how we act toward them. Our option is giving grace to others or cast judgment on others. In these few verses, Jesus holds the mirror up, then points to those around us. It's a both. In this passage, Jesus is doing both. He says, look at that, and now look over there. Look at yourself, and now look at the people around you. Can you see a similarity? Can you see what we all need? This is Jesus making it so clear to us. In the mirror is someone who needs grace, and those around you are people who also need grace. We all need grace. So give grace, and you will get grace. The most obvious look in the mirror moment comes in verse 3. And I love the language. Look at the language that Jesus uses. Stop ignoring the log that's in your eye. Just to try and point out the speck in someone else's eye. We all have obvious shortcomings. We all have issues. We all have faults. We all have things that shouldn't be there. Like a log in your eye. A log in your eye definitely shouldn't be there. I know that it's not really possible, but Jesus is really pushing a point here. There's a log in your eye. Don't ignore the log. Sure, a speck in someone's eye is irritating. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I once had a speck in my eye, and it was really annoying. Now I got a log. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. I had a speck in my eye. I had a metal shaving that lodged itself in my eye. Now, I was wearing safety glasses, Jesse, okay? I was doing what I had to do. I was being safe. I was wearing safety glasses. But with these bushy eyebrows, what happened was a metal shaving sat on my eyebrow, Jesse. It was unbelievable. And when I took off my safety glasses because I was done drilling, I just, you know, did something. And all of a sudden, that boop in my eye. And it was irritating. It was really annoying. I was constantly wiping my eye, like washing my eye out. What's going on? I eventually went to the optometrist. I sat there. I was a brave boy. I sat there. And I let him look into my eye. He opened up my eye, stretching it out with some contraptions and mechanisms and things that he got from the 12th century. And he was looking into my eye and he saw there's a speck in my eye. He saw the speck. And so I sat there patiently, bravely. My mum wasn't there. No one to hold my hand. I faced it myself. And I let him stick sharp things into my eye to get the speck out of my eye. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If he had a clear log in his eye, I would not let him stick sharp stuff into my eye. But we go around in life thinking, hey, let me quickly help you with that speck. And we hit him with this log in our eye. And like, let me quickly get in there. I'll fix this for you. And all they're getting is this jammed log in their face. Because there's things that are in our life that is quite clearly needing to be addressed. Yet we ignore them. And we see the speck in someone else's eye and goes, oh, that is, I can't believe you're walking around with that huge speck in your eye. And we ignore the log in our own eye. I think we need to take a moment, have a look in the mirror and recognize and realize, hey, there's something in my life that needs adjusting. There's something in my life that needs to change. There's something in my life that needs to shift. And then allowing God in to that moment, into that vulnerability, into that weakness and go, God, I need you to remove this because if this doesn't get taken out, it will constantly hinder me from doing what you have for me. And so we can't go around church thinking, hey, we're going to help this person. Hey, we're going to help that person. Hey, we're going to do this, but not address the issues that are deep in us. Issues that are tripping us up. Issues that are causing us to stumble. Issues that are causing us to continue to not be able to help others effectively. God wants us to help others. Jesus even finished by saying that. Get rid of the log in your own eye first, and then you'll be able to see well enough to help those to get a speck out of their eye. The speck should be taken out. And yes, they will need help doing it. But the log must be attended to first. Don't ignore your own shortcomings. Deal with them. Let God cut out the log so you can help those who have the speck. Verse 6 seems so disjointed and almost contradicting to what Jesus just said. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. Okay, Jesus, you're coming on a bit strong there, but it's not a contradiction, it's a line. Jesus wants us to be humble and gentle, helping others who also need help. And he wants us to be wise and have discernment. He wants us to be aware of those who just want to take advantage of our kindness, who want to take advantage of our humility, of our gentleness. Jesus doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be aware of those people. He wants us to be aware that people are going to mistake our kindness for weakness. And Jesus said a few chapters earlier, blessed are the meek, not the weak. And the meek is strength under control. There's a strength about the meek, but they keep it under control. They don't blast out. They don't push forth. They don't be aggressive in their approach. And Jesus says to be meek, not weak. And people will see sometimes our meekness for weakness. They will see our kindness for weakness. Stay humble and gentle. but don't let people walk over you. What we have and what we are asked to give is precious. If people don't want it, share it with the next one. Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out two by two, when you go to a town that rejects you and that town rejects you, shake the dust off of them, shake the dust from them off of you and keep moving to the next town. Go to the next town. Meaning, if people reject what you have, like a pig rejects pearls, move on. Stop throwing the pearls to those who don't appreciate their value. It doesn't mean we cast judgment to those who reject us because of Jesus. We are to continue to give grace and not get trampled over. Stay meek, stay humble, stay kind, and keep moving to the next. The words of Jesus here are causing us to do both mirror checks and look around us. Be aware of your own need for grace and be aware that those around you need grace too. The next passage of Scripture is a complete inward look, a very mirror moment. It's verses 7 to 11. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks will find. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Effective prayer. Another choice that Jesus offers us. Pray once. Look out in hope and get disappointed when your prayer doesn't get answered. Ask as if you had three wishes and they didn't come true. Or ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Jesus encourages us to look in the mirror and determine what kind of prayer life we will have. Jesus says, don't stop. Paul echoes these words of Jesus in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He says, never stop praying. Notice the language Jesus uses here. Ask, seek, knock. This is what our prayer life should look like. Think of it as if there's a gift that you need to pick up, but you've got no idea where that gift is. What's the first thing you do? You ask. You ask where it is. And you ask and you keep on asking till you find out where that gift is. And then you find out it's in a house with a green door. And so you seek for that house with the green door. And you keep on seeking. You look around. You continue to look around. You're walking through the town, looking, trying to find the house with the green door. And then eventually you find the house with the green door and you go up to the door. And what do? You knock. And it's just one knock. It's not, no one's home. Oh, well, I'm going to just leave. No, you go back. And you keep on knocking and you keep on knocking because you know what's behind that door is something you need. You know what's behind that door is a gift for you, something that has been prepared for you, something that only is for you. So you keep on knocking and you keep on knocking and the door will be opened. That's what our prayer life should be. It's asking God and keep on asking him. Lord, what is it for me that you have for me? Lord, reveal your will for my life. Lord, make it clear to me. And then he tells you, all right, go this way. And then you keep seeking and you keep on seeking. Is it this, Lord? Is it this? Is if I do it this way, if I go that way, and you keep on seeking, you keep on seeking. And then all of a sudden you get to a moment where there seems to be something in front of you before you get to the breakthrough and you knock. God, open this door. God, open this door. I know I need to be through this door. You've made it so clear to me, God. I've asked and I've asked and I've asked and you've led me to seek and seek and seek. And now I'm in front of this door and I know I've got to break through this door. But I'm just going to keep on knocking, God. I'm going to keep on knocking because I know you open the door. And whatever door God opens, no man can shut. So we keep on asking and we keep on seeking and we keep on knocking until the door is open to us. We do this and we do this diligently because God is the perfect Father. He knows exactly what we need better than we do. and He is faithful. He will give us what we need. But what the asking and the seeking and the knocking does is it reassures us that what God has for us isn't just what we need, but what we truly desire. He wants us to be on board with what He has for us, excited about it, hungry for it, and passionate to receive it. I hope that makes sense to you. It's us constantly, like us asking and constantly asking and seeking and constantly seeking and knocking and constantly knocking. It's not for God. God knows exactly what we need and He will bring it. It's for us. It's so that we are made sure of what God has for us. It's so that we align ourselves with what God has for us. It's so that we're constantly making sure, constantly checking, God, I want your will. God, I want your will. God, I want your will. It's for us. It's for us. Use this mirror moment to see if, in fact, what God has for us is actually what we desire. And if it isn't, if we desire something else, then we need to make a shift. It's like when we read the Bible. We open up God's Word and we read something that we just don't agree with. We're like, nah, I don't like that. Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible doesn't need changing. We need changing. When we see something in Scripture that we don't agree with, the shift needs to happen in us. And that's the same with God's will. If we find out what God's will is and we go, nah, I don't like it. Well, a shift needs to happen and it's not God. He is perfect. He knows exactly what we need. He's planned our life out already. And that's what the asking and the seeking and the knocking does. It knocks those things out of us that isn't supposed to be there so that we can follow God and walk in His will. It's our choice to either align ourselves with our Creator or not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Now here is a big look around you moment. We can choose to treat people how we would like to be treated or not. Choose to show others what you want from them. Choose to set an example. It can almost seem childish, this verse, because of the simplicity in it. It can almost seem like, that's not a fresh revelation, God, because of the simplicity in it. But I tell you what, sometimes it's the simple things that we overlook. Sometimes it's the simple things that we ignore. But don't ignore this one. Don't ignore the simplicity of this. It's not demanding that people treat you with respect or dignity or love or kindness. It's showing them respect, dignity, love, and kindness. Give grace and you will get grace. Choose to be an example. Let the people around you see what you want and give what you want. Treat them the way you want to be treated. It's simple. It's straightforward. And it's a look around you moment. Be aware of the people around you and be aware of how you treat them. Could you imagine what this world would be like if we just did this one thing? If everyone just treated someone the way they would like to be treated, it'd be a vastly different place. We would live in a vastly different world if we treated each other the way we would like to be treated. And if everyone was just on that wavelength, everyone was like, nah, I'm just going to treat people the way I want to be treated. We would live in such a different world. Let's move to verse 13 to 14. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. The narrow gate. Recognize the choice we have here. We can't choose what's behind the gate. That choice is not up to us. We cannot decide what's behind the door. That's not our choice. But we get to choose what gate we go through. We get to decide. The choice is ours which gate we go through. And this is a powerful mirror moment. We may think that our freedom comes from not having restrictions on being on a certain path or only having one gate that we can choose from. But the truth is that this type of thinking and this type of acting only leads to a trap. A place that we can never escape, a place that we will be a prisoner of. Jesus said in John 10 that He is the gate, and whoever chooses Him will be saved. But if we don't choose Him, if we instead choose to live out our own desires, our own wants, our own plans and schemes, we will eventually end up in a prison that we created, a prison of sin that we will never be able to break out of, all because of our own selfish choices, thinking that living this way is freedom. It starts off nice and wide with the feeling of space and freedom, but going through that gate that path leads you to, doing what you want leads to, it will only take you to a place where no human was designed to be. But choosing to walk on the path that is difficult and narrow will lead you through a gate where there is ultimate freedom. The place that every human was designed to be. An eternity with our Creator, the lover of our souls, an eternity with God. We don't get to choose what's behind the gate, but we get to choose what path we walk on. So have a look in the mirror. Ask yourself, what path am I on? Ask yourself, what path am I walking? Am I being led by my own desires? And it feels like there's a lot of room around me and I've got a lot of space to, I'm going to go check out this thing and I'm going to go do that thing. Or are you walking on a path that seems quite restricted, seems quite narrow, seems quite difficult? You know, almost like you're towing a line sometimes and you're just constantly focusing on this path and you're walking, constantly going, being consistent in your walk. That path, as we continue to model our life after what Jesus has done and live our life the way He lived our life, which is difficult and it's narrow. There's not a lot of room for options. But if we continue to walk that way, the gateway that we enter into, that path leads to, it widens up and there's freedom and there's joy and there's peace and there's hope and there's beauty, and that is where every human soul was designed to go. Choose the right path and you will enter through the right gate. Verse 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. The tree and its fruit. I really like this. This is a really awesome people around you moment. Look around you moment. Jesus tells us not to judge, so we don't, and we shouldn't. What we are to do instead is to be fruit inspectors. A fruit inspector observes what the tree produces, quietly watching and waiting. Now, the tree can claim to be a mango tree, even though the leaves don't look like the leaves of a mango tree. But who are we to judge, right? But eventually, the tree will show its true fruits. And that's when the fruit inspector will determine what kind of tree it really is. There can be a huge sign on the tree that says, "Delicious mangoes for sale, half price." And we can wait for the mangoes to grow. And we sit there and we wait as a good fruit inspector, making sure that that tree is truly what it says it is. But hanging on the tree that doesn't even look like a mango tree are lemons. Small, rock hard lemons. There is nothing left to do other than walk away. Don't buy the rock hard lemon looking mangoes. Leave. It's not a good tree. Jesus says a good tree produces good fruit. It can't produce bad fruit. So when we look around us and see people saying one thing, yet they produce another, don't buy what they're selling. Just leave. There is nothing more to do. Jesus says that that tree will be cut down and thrown into fire. We are not tree loppers. It is not our responsibility to make sure that the fake mango tree with rock-hard lemon-looking mangoes gets chopped down and thrown into the fire. Our job is to inspect the fruit. If it's not mangoes, just walk away and let God deal with the tree. It's our choice to eat of the bad fruit or delight in the good fruit that is available. It's not our responsibility to be pointing out people, constantly going, bad fruit, bad fruit, bad fruit. Sure, warn other people humbly, but we're not to attack other people because they're producing bad fruit. Let God deal with that. He's the tree lopper. We're their inspector of the fruit. We walk around, is this fruit good for me to digest? Is this fruit going to be helpful for me? Or is this fruit just going to cause me pain, going to cause me harm? Be a fruit inspector. Don't judge them. Don't try to cut them down. Let God be God and you be aware of the fruit that you receive. Verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. True disciples. These are some of the scariest words that we hear Jesus say. And at the same time, we can find comfort in them. If we use it as a mirror moment and choose carefully how we respond to what we see. Jesus makes it clear that it's not about what we do, even if what we do is for him. He is telling us that it's about whether we have given him the access for him to know us. Have we opened our hearts for him? Or are we just trying to make it to him by doing things for him? This is a very deep and serious mirror moment. Look in the mirror right now and determine if you have allowed Jesus in or are you just going through the motions, ticking a religious box. My advice to you is let him in. Choose to let him in. Choose to allow him to know you. For the consequence of not making this choice is devastating. Save yourself from devastation and choose Jesus. Can I have the band come up? It's a sobering thought. And I know many people, I've spoken to many people that verse or those couple of verses really challenge them and haunt them almost. Because it's so simple for us and so easy for us to think, hey, if we're just doing this, you know, I serve God, I come to church, I make coffee for people, I do all of these things. I'm constantly making sure that I'm doing things for the kingdom, expanding the kingdom, I tithe, I do all these things. Yet if we're not actually allowing God to get to know us, then what does that mean? What does that look like? What is giving God an opportunity to get to know me look like? Well, that's opening yourself up, prayer, being vulnerable with him. I'm going through this. I'm struggling with that. Can you help me here? Turning to his word, opening up scripture, allowing the scripture to read you, using Scripture as a mirror, letting God in. That's what it means. That's what it looks like for Him to know you. Just be vulnerable with Him. Be honest with Him. Be true to Him. Actually allow Him to speak into your life. Allow Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. Verse 24 to 29. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Building on solid foundation. The final statement of Jesus in his epic sermon on the Mount. And he finishes with another mirror moment, offering us one final choice. Will we choose to listen to his words and act on them, or will we ignore them? Could you imagine how hard it is for God? Could you imagine how difficult it is for Him? All the love that He has for us, everything that He's done for us, the way that He's made for us, the path that He set out for us, the gateway that He's prepared for us, and the eternity that He has in store for us. Can you imagine how difficult it is for Him to just leave the choice up to us? Yet He does it. Because He doesn't want robots. He didn't create slaves. He created children who choose Him. And that's our choice. Will we walk on the path? Will we enter through the gate that He has for us? Will we choose to take these words that He has spoken and apply them to our life? Will we choose to build a stormproof life? Or will we ignore them? Just doing whatever we want, living whatever life we want to live. It's a difficult, difficult thing for God, I'm sure. Because He only wants the best for us. And that's why He preached this message, making it very clear for us what we can do to make sure for us to have a stormproof life. With or without Jesus, there will be storms. With or without Jesus, there will be hardships. With or without Jesus, there will be trials and troubles. But with Jesus, we'll be able to stand. Those trials will not take us out. Those troubles will not be the end of us. The storm will not wash us away. We will not crumble and fall and come down in a big crash. But we will stand firm despite the winds and the waves, despite the troubles, if we obey Him, if we allow Him to build our life, if we follow Jesus. Like I said before, save yourself from devastation and choose Jesus. Build your life on the solid rock of His teaching, His wisdom, His authority, and you will have a stormproof life. Ultimately, there is just one choice that carries eternal value, and that is the choice of choosing Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. He already chose to lay down His life so that we can have eternal life. All we have to do is choose to accept the free gift of salvation that only Jesus offers. And I wonder if there's people in this room right now that have not yet accepted that free gift of salvation. The Bible says that God is constantly reaching out to us, constantly offering us this free gift of salvation, constantly giving us an opportunity, a moment to receive what He has for us, and that is eternity with Him. But it starts by a decision that gets made here in this lifetime. Now's your moment. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you haven't decided to make Him Lord and Savior of your life, or you've walked away from Him, decided to go your own path, live your own life, do your own thing, make your own decisions. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day where you can turn to God. Don't wait another moment. Don't think, oh, next time. This is your time. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know what God has for us, and that is eternity with Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. So with eyes closed and heads bowed in this moment, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. He makes it so clear to us what it looks like to follow Him. And He spells it all out for us, the benefits. The greatest is a life in eternity with Him. So if you're here this morning and you don't know where you're going to be spending eternity, give your life to Jesus and you will be set right, made righteous in God's sight. And He welcomes you with open arms. So if you're here this morning and you want to say yes to Jesus, just be brave. Give me a wave. I want to pray with you. If there's anyone in this room that hasn't said yes to Him yet or walked away from Him, as I look across, Jesus, we just pray right now that You will bring people into this room, God, that need You. That need You. God, we all need You, but those that have not said yes to You yet, bring them into this place, Father, so that they can experience and encounter You, their loving Father. The Holy Spirit, minister to people right now. God, even in this room, those of us, Lord, that You have placed people on our hearts, a burden for people, a burden for humanity. God, I just declare right now that those, the one that You have made light to us, God, give us the courage, the boldness, the words to say, God, to see them receive You. Work in them and work through us in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Won't you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray for you before we close. I just want to pray for every single one of us here this morning. So would you close your eyes and just put your hands out in front of you as if you're going to receive a gift. Every single one of you. And if you think that's weird, it's not weird. Look around you. Everyone else is doing it. Just put your arms out in front of you as because God's wanting to deposit something right now. Father, I just pray right now that as we've come around Your word, as we've heard what You have to say for us, God, what You spell out for us, what You make so clear to us, God, help us to use Your words as mirror moments, God. A moment for us to look into our own lives and evaluate to see if it aligns with Your word. And God, I pray that You will make it so clear to us when we fall short of the glorious standard that You set, God. Lead us and guide us so that we can be the people You called and created us to be. God, when we look around us, God, help us not to judge, but Lord, help us to come humbly to people, extending out a hand. Minister in us and through us, Holy Spirit. Use us, God. Grow Your church. Grow Your church. Build Your church. Build Your church, God. Use us to build Your church. Let us walk in Your will. let your will be done in us and through us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.